In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My Yammerfest today is with Dan Kopko from Boston's Shine Hilos. Their latest single, Operator, is out on Rumbar Records, and it's also a recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear some of that now, and afterwards I'll be back with Dan for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
I met her down at the record store.
Conversations time in Little Stevens Underground Garage, and this is the Mighty Mandarin with you. Today I'm going to be yakking it up with Dan Kopko of Boston's Shine Hilos. Their latest single is Operator. It's out on Rumbar Records, and it is this week's coolest song in the world. How are you, Dan?
I am doing great, man. But how are you?
I'm doing great as well. Good to be speaking with you again, and congratulations on the new single and coolest song in the world.
Oh, I can't tell you how thrilled we are. Lightning really does strike three times, I guess, in this case, you know. But we're the people at Underground Garage have been very, very good to us, and we're grateful, and we're just thrilled to have another coolest song.
Well, it's a great one. I love that it's a story song, and of course, you know, I used to work in record stores, so I'm very happy it takes place in a record store. Would any other setting have worked?
I don't know. You know, it just so happened it was the perfect setting for the song because, you know, we've got a video, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But it lent itself so well to a video that was centered in the record store and the whole story around the guy meeting the girl and sort of where that whole thing went. So, I don't think any setting would have worked but the record store, right? I mean, where else would you want to meet someone you're going to have a telephonic love affair with? Or
so did you wrote this with Jennifer Dangora, right? Jen Dangora.
Yeah, Jen and I, obviously Jen Dangora and I co-founded the band and are co-conspirators, co-writers, and we both bring ideas to the table. So it's very much a 50-50 proposition that way. This is one that I brought the sort of core of the idea to the table. I've got, you know, I mean, as I'm sure you do, anybody who writes, you know, you're always sort of generating ideas. And at any given time, I've got, you know, 100 or 200 ideas on my mobile phone, you know, just humming things into there. And I had this one for a while that was sitting there, and I just knew, you know, the ones that stand out and you got to sort of get back to. And it's like, I got to get back to this one, you know. And I had the music and melody for a while. And, you know, the chorus just sort of popped out on its own, you know, when you start doing this, it's like Bob Baran or, you know, whatever, Operator in this case, you know. And then you sort of knew, okay, it's got to have a telephone theme. What's it going to be, you know? So I brought the idea, then started building it out, talked with Jen about, you know, where the sort of theme and idea of the song are going to go, and sort of got a framework in mind of what she's going to sing, what I'm going to sing, and sort of the storyline, and then just built it out from there.
So when and where did you record it?
Well, we do, you know, I've been doing, I think, as you know, like I, you know, when we talked before, I do a lot of home recording. I've got a bunch of gear. As a matter of fact, I finally upgraded my gear. I had been using, like, for all the older stuff that I recorded in other bands and even the early Shanghai Low stuff, I had this, like, ancient, like, Y2K era PC desktop, you know, that was running, like, some old version of, like, Sonar, you know, Cakewalk on it. And I did all the stuff on that. And I was sort of superstitious about ever upgrading because I thought if I had switched my setup, I would, like, lose my mojo because, like, right. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just sort of, you know, use the stuff and you get used to the tools that are at your disposal. And I got pretty good at it. But so in the last year or so, I finally decided to upgrade, and I got a new laptop and a new sound card and new plugins and all the stuff. And which is, it's made an amazing difference. And I don't think the mojo is gone, but I guess that remains to be seen. But now I call it the magic suitcase because it can all fit into this little suitcase and I just, like, wheel it to wherever I'm going. So if I'm going to record Jen doing some vocals, I'll just go down to the rehearsal studio and set it all up. And then, you know, we do our thing for a couple hours and I'll wheel out the magic suitcase when I leave and put it in my trunk, you know? So other than the drums, which we record at a studio called Mad Oak Studios with a great Boston producer named Benny Grotto, who's a drummer and just gets killer sounds, everything else is recorded all in the magic suitcase, you know, with the folks sort of one-on-one.
Felix and his magic bag, right?
Yeah, man. Magic suitcases, magic bags. There could be other things. I guess, who was it? Magic Alex with the Beatles would have, like, his magic suitcase too, right?
Right, right.
So you mentioned what you want to do with the drums, and who did you say produced that?
That was Benny Grotto in at Mad Oak Studios in Boston, who we've been friends with and did the drums on the last couple of Shanghai Low's recordings too. To me, I mean, when you're, you know, the thing with the sort of self-recording thing is it's great, except drums require a lot of microphones, I don't have that many microphones. And so I got to go to somebody who's got the microphones and can get the drum sounds. But then after that, I do all the mixing and sort of, I fancy myself a sort of mixer, engineer, producer as well.
Well, right. I was going to say, you're credited as a producer as Danny the K.
Danny the K is, like, my alter ego, you know? Yeah. I mean, the mighty Danny the K was already taken, so I just had to live with Danny the K. But yeah, that's sort of what I use for my little moniker when I'm doing these side things. So as a producer, or, you know, if I do a solo thing, I'll go under the moniker Danny the K, but...
What, so I want to ask you, what is the backing vocal line that's pretty close to the top of the song going? It's not op operator. It's like bop bop,
bop bop ba da da. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that was classic.
Who came up with that?
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, I came up with that. That was classic. You know, let's spend the night together, right?
Yeah.
Bop bop ba da da bop bop ba da da. So I'm like, I need a bop bop ba da da song, you know. So. When I got the operator line for the chorus, it was like, well, the natural thing for the call and response in the verses was bop, 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 ba da, right? So I got the Stones reference. I got a little Beach Boys, you know, Brian Wilson at the end there with the ooh-ee-oos.
I was going to ask you about those as well, because who's actually singing that?
Yeah, that's me. That one's me.
That is you. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got, you know, Jen takes her part in the bridge, sort of trying to reassure the poor guy who thinks he's going to have sort of this, you know, raging telephone love affair. But as it turns out, she only wanted him for his voice, and it was only a one-way affair. So,
yeah.
And then she had many other gentlemen callers. So
many, many others. Well, in fact, so the last time we spoke, we shared some love for your rhythm section, Lee Harrington on the bass, Chuck Ferrara on the drums. Now they're still in the band, right?
They are, yeah.
Okay,
we haven't kicked them out yet.
Well, I noticed there's an additional member listed in the credits and also in the video chat. Now, this is Chad Raleigh on guitar.
Yeah, Chad Raleigh is another guy. So what happened is, like, you know, for the recording stuff, and because, like, I can't help myself as sort of a producer, you know, our last coolest song was a song called Billy, right, which was this sort of spaghetti western thing. And as it turns out, on that song, there ended up being, like, two acoustic guitars, like four electric guitar parts, strings, horns. And then we quickly found out that with, you know, just Jen and me on guitar, we could not reproduce these things live very well, right? So, like, we either had to hire, like, an orchestra or get somebody who was, like, you know, a utility knife kind of player who could do all this stuff. And Chad Raleigh is exactly that. He's a local guitar hero guy who we've known for quite a while. He's played in some great bands, most notably around Boston, a band called The Rationals that were did a lot of stuff a few years back. And he's been friends with us forever. Great guy, and fit right in terms of his personality and his sound. He can do all the stuff from the B-bender stuff to the slide stuff. He's got lap steel experience. He's got the full pedal board. So all this stuff that we've done with like mellotrons and horns and stuff like that, he brings all that stuff so that the live renditions of these things can sort of, you know, do much better at approximating what we put on record.
Well, that's all very cool. To me, he is going to be forever known as the Foghat guy.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, you know, I mean, we sort of, oh, you know, for this video, we've got to take on these 70s personas. And he came as sort of this, you know, the Foghat guy, or like, you know, I guess it was Tommy Chong was like the thing with the headband and stuff, you know. But we took photos there, and we hadn't gotten proper photos for a while. So we ended up using the photos from this record store shoot for a lot of the photos, you know. And I feel bad because the guy's got like this bandana on, like, you know, with like this Tommy Chong hairdo and like stuff. So like people will probably think that's his like real image, you know, which it isn't quite.
And so that ties into the video. So we'll talk some about that here now. You mentioned Billy, a very cinematic work, the Suspended Western thing. And for Operator, you got a cool video as well. It takes place, as we mentioned, in a record store. This is a real record store, right?
It is. It's a record store outside of Boston. It's called Stereo Jacks, and it's owned by, in the sort of small world department, it's owned by a guy named Chris Anzalone, who's the drummer of one of my other projects, the Peppermint Kicks, among many other things. He's just a great session drummer and has played on a million things, but he played on the Peppermint Kicks record with Sal Baglio and me. So turns out he owns Stereo Jacks, and when we were thinking, oh, we've got to do this in a record store, I called up Chris and said, hey, you know, after hours, man, can we get the keys to the store? And he let us do it, you know. And he's such a nice guy. He even apologized after the fact. He said, hey, I didn't realize there was a lot of dirt and salt on my floors. I didn't clean them before the video. And I was like, I think we're okay, man. It's like, I don't too many close-ups of the floor, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, who put the video together for you? Who shot it? Who made
it? Yeah, she's a great video director, local, named Joan Hathaway. We had worked with her on a video for one of our other songs, Takes One to Know One, off our Aces, Eights, and Heartbreaks record. And she's great at doing these, like sort of getting the band to be ourselves and sort of let our hair down and sort of just be goofy and have fun with it. And so the whole idea here was we're going to go to this record store. And then the other piece we shot in the basement jam room of a friend and local photographer named Nikki T., who's really well known around the Boston scene, is like one of the biggest music supporters you're ever going to know. And we're just going to, it's going to be like a monkeys video. We're going to have a blast with this. We're going to go with this concept with the telephones. Yeah. Everybody's going to, you know, we're going to do these, you know, play up these ba-ba-ba-da-da scenes, and we're going to pop up from behind the counters. Wow. And we're going to, you know, do all this stuff. And we just had great, great fun shooting that.
In the video, you, when you're in the checkout, but you go up to check out the record you're buying, I think it's Al Green's Greatest Hits.
Al Green, yeah.
Yeah. You have that one in real life?
Of course. Who wouldn't have Al Green? You got to have Al Green, right? But it was, I mean, the funny thing about Al Green was it was supposed to be because, like, you know, in that particular scene, I'm going up as the, you know, hey, baby, like, you know, can I get your number sort of thing? I'm pointing at Al Green shirtless on the record label, like, you know, like, and Jen sort of looks at it like, oh, yeah, like, you know, very impressive sort of thing.
Well, speaking of, well, shirtless him, but you had a very nice Price t-shirt on.
Yeah, well, that was one of the, you know, Lou Mansdorf of Rumbar sort of appropriated that label for one of his Rumbar Records shirts. So if you look closely, that's actually a Rumbar Records shirt that sort of appropriates the Nice Price thing.
Yeah, I keep thinking that made me think of Turtles Records and Tapes.
Seems yeah, like yeah. Well, the Nice Price stuff goes way back, but Lou has appropriated some of those sort of classic labels into some of his marketing stuff, which. You know, I'll let him speak to the legalities of that stuff, but it works well on a t-shirt. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So we've been talking about, the, Operator tune. And when you did that, so last year saw the release of Aces, Eights, and Heartbreaks, the album, also on Rumbar Records. When are we going to see a new full length?
Yeah. So we're working on a record now, and we've got it well in progress. I'd say we're looking at a summer release. Exactly what the release date's going to be, I'm not sure yet. because we're still finalizing which tracks are going to make it, and you know, finalizing some of the recording stuff and all that goes along with it. And so it's going to be full length or a very healthy EP, we'll call it, or whatever, but let's say 8 to 10 songs. And we don't have a title yet, although I have a few things in mind, which I won't reveal today because my bandmates would probably shoot me for revealing them first on the air.
Well, but you should give us several titles, and then we'll let people
vote. I don't know. The one I'm thinking most of is called Pleasure Buttons.
Called what?
Pleasure Buttons.
Pleasure
Buttons. Because there was a local rag here, Boston Groupie News, who said they were doing a review of Op Operator, and it said, "This song pushes all the pleasure buttons." And I said, "Wow, that's a great title right there, Pleasure Buttons."
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm sort of pushing for Pleasure Buttons. So we'll see if that ends up sticking. But, you know, anyway, I'm really excited about this record. I think, you know, it's some of the greatest stuff we've written. We've been able to rehearse a lot more together, you know, being past all the sort of pandemic relics and all those sorts of things that sort of, you know, kept things slow and sort of separate in the old recordings. We've been able to spend a lot more time together, work on these things jointly. They're a lot more collaborative and they're a lot more fun. There's a lot of variety. We have some reed sounding stuff on here. The next single that's going to be coming out, we're really excited about. It's called Morganatic Panic. And it's sort of like, imagine Cheap Trick fronted by Exene and John Doe from X or something, you know? So that one I'm really excited about. And it's got a cool storyline about sort of, you know, marriages and affairs outside the royal family that Jen came up with, you know, just a brilliant lyric. So that one's going to be killer. You know, we've got a bunch of just really good rockers on there. Obviously, some of the girl group stuff that Jen shines on. So we think people are going to dig it, and we're really excited to get it out there.
Very cool. So I know last Friday the 5th, you were scheduled to play at the Faces Brewing Company there in the, I guess, the greater Boston area. Do you have any other gigs upcoming?
Yeah, well, as of the time of this airing, the next gig, we'll actually be playing at Faces again with John Snodgrass on the 17th of May. That's the next immediate Boston area gig. And we've got a couple things. We're working on stuff now that's going to coincide more with the release. So we're going to get down to Rhode Island. I think we're going to get down to Connecticut, hoping to get down to New York over the summer, late summer, early fall. So we're in the process of sort of setting all that up now. So, you know, we do New England sort of circuit thing. So we'll probably get up.
Where do you
to New
play
Hampshire.
In Connecticut?
We're looking at Cafe 9.
Yeah.
We're hoping that's going to work out, and we will be able to announce something soon there.
Well, since we've got the record store thing happening with Op Operator, I thought we could go out with another record-related song of y'all's. It's Skipping Records, and it's on your 2021 EP, Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit. You're singing lead on that one. I'm assuming, did you write that one?
Yeah, that's another one I had, yeah.
And do you recall how that one came together?
Yeah, well, I have to put the way back.
I know, you got to put the thinking cap.
No, I mean, that one was like, you know, that was actually about, if I'm going to be honest about the lyrical content, the Skipping Records concept came from playing in another band and sort of, you know, you get to the point in a band sometime where, you know, you're doing gigs and you're sort of playing the same songs and you're sort of not, you know, you're not refreshing the set and you're sort of getting a little stale on the stuff. And it was a little bit of a probably frustrated feeling a little bit at the time about like, oh, you know, we're stuck in a, you know, like a skipping record, you know, and that was the way it came about. So I didn't want to like be, have, you know, hopefully that's not meant to make the song a downer. It's not a downer at all because it's a fun song with the little skippy chorus and stuff, you know, but that's it. But the whole idea is like a skipping record sort of being stuck in that little rut. And then the song is playing over and over and over, you know, so it's a fun little concept for a song and it translated well. It's one of my favorite songs we play. It's one of the first ones that Jen and I actually finished up together when we started the band. And so it's, and we play it still in all these live songs in all our live sets, and it always goes over well. So glad you're going out on that one.
Well, all right. Well, Dan, thanks so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
It has been my pleasure.
Well, we're going to give a listen now to Skipping Records. It's from the Shanghellos EP, Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Kick in the eye.
Boston's Shanghailos with a bit of their tune Skipping Records here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The song is on their 2021 EP Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit, and that's available from Rumbar Records. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Dan Kopko for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. New Jersey rocker Bobby Mahoney, he's been signed to Wicked Cool Records, and he'll have an album out in June titled Another Deadbeat Summer. He'll be my guest next time around on our Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.